Welcome everyone to the first lecture in Messmethoden and Fernekunden. So for lecture one, I'm going to try and make two about 10-minute long videos. We're going to talk about the scales of ocean processes and how they influence measurement methods. And basically, we're going to go through a bunch of different examples of the scales of ocean processes in the ocean that we might be interested in measuring.
So one thing I want to point out is that unfortunately with this recording equipment you can't see my cursor. So when I want to highlight something, I'm going to try and use a kind of like a marker. So for example, here I want to point out that this plot shows on the y-axis the time scale. So I'll do something like this or underline or just so you know what, and then of course might end up making strange shapes and things, but just try and I'll just try and make it as simple as possible to make it easy for you to follow. So this plot that we see is probably one that you're already familiar with, or you will become very well familiar with as you go through your studies. On the y-axis, as I said, is the time scale ranging from seconds or hundreds of seconds or tens of seconds up to tens of thousands of years. And on the x-axis here, we have the horizontal scales generally, also maybe vertical scales, ranging from millimeters up to tens of thousands of kilometers. And these little bubbles show different processes, mainly physical processes that happen in the ocean and how they and what kind of scales they fall into. So for example, at the higher end we have climate change, which is a very large scale process over many, many years, of course, thousands or tens of thousands of years. And then as we go down these temporal and spatial scales, we get to eddies and fronts, for example. So they cover quite a range, but you have eddies that are hundreds of kilometers in size and last for months or maybe even up to a year. And then you have fronts which are down below 1 or 10 kilometers here. And that lasts maybe a much shorter period on the order of weeks. And you have many different processes here, internal waves, surface gravity waves, and as we get further and further down, we get into the area of energy dissipation or turbulence and molecular processes where we actually get energy dissipation. And so that's what's kind of the key point of this figure is this transport of energy. That can go in both directions from, so it can be transferred from large scale processes down to small scale processes, but can also go in the other direction from smaller scale processes to large scale processes. So one example of the downscale of energy is the generation by internal tides here at these kind of scale of internal waves, which then in turn may break at some point and in through vertical turbulent mixing mix and dissipate energy away. And in the other direction, you may have eddies, these mesoscale eddies, which form. And if you have two coming together, they may form an even larger scale eddy. So here's an example of very large spatial scale with large temporal scale process, which is global circulation or basin scale circulation. And you're kind of probably familiar with these kind of maps as well. And here we have, for example, the Gulf Stream heading north. Where it gradually cools as it enters the Arctic Ocean. Maybe through convection, then we have the cold water. As the water cools, it sinks, and we have the return flow through the Denmark Strait, forming the northern end of the Amoch circulation. But what we now know is that although this picture is very representative, it doesn't capture all the details, it doesn't capture all the scales. And for example, the Gulf Stream in particular is not so easy so well represented by a straight line as shown here. Instead, it's a very dynamic system full of instabilities and formation, leading to the formation of eddies and meandering of the stream along its path. So in the figure on the right, we can see that as a drawing. So first we sort of imagine this. Originally, we had this smooth stream in the last slide. Now we start to see meandering of the current due to instabilities. Here we go. Which in turn, as these meanders evolve, they eventually lead to the spin-off of eddies, these mesoscale eddies, which, for example, one here. And as well, in the vertical, there is also a lot of variability. So here we see on the bottom left plot a section through the Gulf Stream with depth on the y-axis and distance on the distance offshore on the on the x-axis. And we can see the variability in both vertical and horizontal scales. And the image above is a satellite image showing basically the same idea as the drawing on the right. And again, here's the main path of the Gulf Stream coming through. And we see all this variability in the, this would be surface, sea surface temperature. So warmer water would be warmer colors, red and orange, and colder water would be green and blue. And we can see the meander of the Gulf Stream here and the formation of eddies as they spin off, for example, here. And also, what's very interesting here is the change in temperature. So as this Gulf Stream moves northward, it is cooling. To get a real idea of how much variability there really is in something like the Gulf Stream or in the ocean in general, there are some great modeling efforts and output that we can look at. This is one example based on the MIT GCM model put together by NASA. The link you'll find in the slides, and you can really explore this visualization for hours if you're interested. It's really quite amazing. And so here's a little clip showing what's called the perpetual ocean, what they call the perpetual ocean, showing all the different, or up to down to a certain scale at least, the variability in the ocean. Again, here we see the Gulf Stream moving northward along the coast of North America, and the meandering that occurs and the eddies that form as it spins off. But it is of course not the only area that this happens. So throughout the ocean, we see many mesoscale eddies and strong currents that are meandering as they flow. There's the Agulhas currents and eddies off the tip of South Africa. As I say, we could keep watching that probably for hours, but I'll leave it at that. And please, once you download the slides, or if you already have, please go check out the website that I've linked. It's actually not, I was showing the YouTube station, but the link is to the data source. And they have more videos there and links also to the YouTube channel. So this concludes the first video of Lecture 1. And the next video will continue with some more examples as we move down the plot on the left as we get into smaller timescales and smaller spatial scales.